Now, I'm joined by Paul Brennan, our adjudicator of the Clare Drama Radio Play Festival, on the phone. Paul, can you hear me?
I can indeed, Tom. Yeah. How are you doing?
So, tonight's the last night, last two plays of 20. So,
yeah,
it doesn't seem like that long, really, you know, but
yeah, it's incredible how it flew, isn't it?
Isn't it just? It is indeed.
Yeah.
So,
amazing.
Two plays we have tonight. The first one is A Galway Girl. And will you tell us a little bit about the play, please?
Okay, well, I didn't get to the premiere of A Galway Girl because that actually happened in South Africa, would you believe, where the author Geraldine Aron was living back in 1979.
Yes.
But in 1980, the Druid Theatre Company brought it to Galway, and most fittingly. And I was lucky enough to get to see that production. Production in Druid featured my fellow adjudicator, Alva Garvey, as Maisie. The part of Dermot was taken by Ray McBride. And together they present what is a full marriage presented in a mere 30 minutes. It's a remarkable play from the point of view that it really gives you the feeling like at the end of it, you've been right through that whole marriage, and yet you've only been listening in for 30 minutes. And that's down to the skill of the writer in bringing us so many aspects of that interesting relationship. It's no secret to say that he, the husband, is a Bulgarian, I think might be a good word for him, and she is something of a snob.
That's with
and
a V you now, that Bulgarian, isn't it?
A V, yeah, not a Bulgarian.
Yeah.
A Bulgarian.
Yeah.
And he does all sorts of things that mortify her, particularly when they're young, and she reports this in hushed tones, shocked that her husband could have turned out like this. Why didn't she notice it before they were married, etc., etc.? And he, for his part, delights in giving her a hard time in that way and doing precisely what she doesn't want. So we're taken through their lives together, through their marriage, their children, where they move to, all the usual stuff that you find. And yet it has this distinctiveness about it, partly the distinctiveness that comes from her being a Galway girl. He's actually a Dublin man and something of a businessman. How the business goes is another matter, but I won't spoil the story on that one. And that's part of what adds to it all. It's ultimately quite a touching piece. I mean, as you come towards the end, your feelings are definitely aroused, and love comes into it undoubtedly at the end. The way in which they arrive at that is what you're going to listen into to try and get a sense for, I guess.
Exactly.
So there we are.
Paul,
those two
this
characters.
Is a play that was written for stage. How do you think it's adapted to the radio?
Well, it's probably one of those stage plays that's not so hard to adapt.
Yes.
Because when it's staged, it's simply that the two actors are on stage with a table. She's on one side, he's on the other. And they don't do all that much. They don't move around all that much. So in a way, it's halfway towards being a radio play already,
yes.
which is lucky enough.
Yeah, I've...
But that said, still requires a bit of production because, you know, you've got to find bits of music or whatever to bring in now and again or whatever to really make it live as a radio play. So there is a bit of work to do with the adaptation.
Yes. But as you said, it's one of the, I've seen it, I suppose, half a dozen times at this stage, you know, and it is readily adaptable, all right. Just, you said about the author, Geraldine Aron. She was born in Galway in 1951. She spent 15 years of her adult life in Zimbabwe and South Africa and is now resident in London. And she's the author of 20 produced stage plays, 11 plays for television and radio, and 3 screenplays. So she's quite an accomplished playwright. And the group, Oak Hill Players, are a drama group based in Knockera in the parish of Kilimer in County Clare. And they came together in 2016 to reignite the strong history of drama in their community. And in their short existence, the group have performed both one-act and three-act plays, the highlight being the staging of John B. Keane's masterpiece, Sive, at the West Clare Drama Festival in Dunbeg in 2020. And that's our first play tonight. And the second play then is Thin Ice. So, Paul, will you tell us a little bit about that play, please?
Okay, well, it's a question as to which of the characters exactly is skating on thin ice.
Yes.
Again, it's a husband-wife play. This time there's a third character there. It's a confidant or friend of the wife. And it's wonderful to see a guy writing two large female characters. The male third male character is a largish role as well. But it's great that that men will write women's parts. Sometimes you come across male writers who say, I just can't write women, and they write plays full of men all the time. But this guy clearly is not afraid to do so, and that's wonderful. The main issue at stake here is to do with male infertility or female infertility, depends which it is. And also, there's an amount of pride going with whether it's me or whether it's you, that kind of thing. The couple don't have a child, and as to whether it's his fault or hers, well, only a doctor can tell. And after going to the trouble of finding out, the wife is quite upset to find that her husband doesn't like the way she's done that and doesn't like the fact that there could be implications about himself and so on and so forth. Yeah, it's quite an edgy subject, I mean, it's an old subject. It goes back as far, at least as far as Henry VIII, if you recall. He
Yes.
didn't seem to particularly like the idea that he could only produce female children. If he had lived in the modern era, he would have discovered that, in fact, I think it's mostly the man who is responsible for the gender of the child, and beyond that, also sometimes for whether there's a child or not. Anyway, so yeah, that's what these two get horns locked about and tussle over. While the third character, the woman, Maura, is pregnant again, and she's unhappy to be pregnant. So Eileen, the woman, the wife, really is so envious of Maura, and Maura actually doesn't really want to be pregnant again. So it's ironic that she should end up with such a friend. She reproaches her, saying, oh, how could you not want a baby? It's the very thing I want, and so on. So there we are. That's Thin Ice.
The group Riverside Drama Circle was founded in October 1972, and they say next year they'll be celebrating their 50th anniversary. And Declan Cahill, who's the man I've been communicating with mostly and is the producer of the play, is the last founder member still standing, he says. And the group originated in Riverside Estate, and hence the name, in North Dublin City, approximately 1 mile east of the Santry Junction on the M1. And that's the road to Dublin Airport. And they now draw members from all over the city. And they normally present a full-length stage play in April every year and two one-acts in a pub theatre setting every autumn. The author, Dennis Byrne, commenced writing stories as a young boy at school in Dublin. And he was encouraged by teachers that gave him the confidence to continue his skill. And his first published pieces were in the Irish Press newspaper in the 1960s. David Marcus was an early mentor who spurred him on to tackle bigger issues, which in turn led him to achieve a Hennessy Writing Award. And Dennis was a keen observer of Irish social life, and many of his writings reflect upon aspects of this. He is a published author of two children's books and is an accomplished and prize-winning playwright. Many of his full-length plays have been staged by Riverside Drama Circle, and he's also written for radio, and many of his plays and comedies have been broadcast on Near FM in Dublin under the Sound and Vision Fund by the Broadcasting Authority of Ireland. And Near FM, like ourselves in Scariff Bay, is a community radio station based in North County Dublin, so it's another link between community stations with us. And that's the last of our 20 plays then. For tonight, Paul, tomorrow night, Easter Sunday night at 8 o'clock, we're going to have the results. And as Owen O'Hagan describes it, we're going to have a virtual glitzy award ceremony. So that's going to take a little bit of challenges technically from our point of view. So we're going to
What did he
open
call
a glitzy virtual award ceremony.
it? Sorry, I misheard glitzy. I thought you said gypsy. I was wondering what was going on.
No, let's see. And then we'll open tomorrow night with a few opening remarks, and then you'll give your preparatory remarks. And basically, what will you be doing in that, Paul?
Well, I just make some observations about the whole experience from their point of view, from my point of view. looking back on the process you and I have been through together, Tom, along with Owen,
yes,
trying to put the whole thing together and finding the best. We've had loads of choices to make. Will we have this? Won't we have that? For instance, we wondered, could we have private adjudication after the productions, but we couldn't manage that this year. Who knows, it might happen if there was a future festival. That kind of thing we can reflect upon, and you know, as well as talking about what the groups have had to do to get it together, particularly in these times of restrictions, how they manage that. It's quite extraordinary that they've done so, and you know, congratulations to them for all they've done. I'll be wanting to certainly pass that on to them,
sure,
amongst other things.
Yeah. And then we'll have a number of speakers that will come in at various stages on line. And we're planning that you will give a synopsis of the players in groups of five, and we'll have speakers in between. And then we'll get on to the results at the towards the end. Yes. And just to go through what the main awards will be, we have given you the option of having an adjudicator award, and I think you have taken up that option. I don't need to know who now at this stage.
one adjudicator's award.
Yes, for something special, something that caught your imagination, I suppose, whatever, you know. And then of the three awards, there'll be one for sound, design and technical production. So you'll probably have a couple of nominations for that, and we'll announce the result.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have four acting awards. We'll have Best Actor and Best Supporting Actor and Best Actress and Best Supporting Actress. And then Owen O'Hagan and myself as presenters have... we're going to give our own an award each for something special or something that caught our imagination. I think Owen has decided what he's going to do. I haven't decided what mine is yet, but we will.
Oh, I can't wait to hear.
Okay, all right. And then there's the Best Director, but we may not announce that until the overall, because as a rule, Best Director usually goes with the overall winning play. So... And then we will give the overall placings, and I think if my memory is, we won't give the really minor places, but we'll give the top third of the results in order of preference, and then we'll announce the overall winner, and we will have Joanne Keane, who's the outgoing chair of the Drama League of Ireland, to virtually present the Alan Sparling Memorial Trophy to the winner. So we have plenty to look forward to tomorrow night then, and...
Yes, Tom, I just would mention one other thing.
Sure.
When it comes to recapping the 20 plays, it's a thing I wouldn't normally do at the end of a festival. But this year it's different because of the fact that it's a whole 6 weeks since we heard the first play, The Apprentice. And I think it's really important that I just give a little reminder of each of the plays for people, particularly people who've listened in all the time, that they get the chance to... just be reminded of what the several plays were, the 20 plays were, and also for people who then didn't tune into everything, that just to give them some kind of clue in as to what those plays they might have missed were. So I think it's worth doing.
Yeah, and just to remind our listeners that most of the plays are available to listen back to on podcast for the time being, at least anyway. So if somebody really wants to hear, let's say after tomorrow night, if they want to hear who the winner was or the local player, whatever they want to hear, you know, they'll be available for a little while anyway after that. So Paul, thank you very much for your time, and I'm looking forward to the two plays tonight, Galway Girl, which I've seen many times, but I'm looking forward to this, the radio version of it, and Thin Ice from Riverside Drama Circle. And we will look forward to your comments after tonight's plays, and we're eagerly look forward to the results tomorrow night. So thank you very much indeed.
Talk to you then.
Okay, take care.